From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar.
It's been 68 years this month since fighting began on the Korean Peninsula that would rage for 3 years, cost millions of lives, and see much of Korea devastated. It's been 65 years since hostilities ceased under an armistice, and 64 years since the U.S. rejected a request by China's Chou En-lai for a peace treaty. That request has been refused by every American president since 1954. On Tuesday morning, President Donald Trump spoke in Singapore after meeting for 5 hours with the head of state of the Democratic People's Republic of Korea, or North Korea. Today we bring you the first half of the hour-long press conference that he gave after meeting with North Korea's Kim Jong-un.
Well, thank you very much, everybody. We appreciate it. We're getting ready to go back. Had a tremendous 24 hours. We've had a tremendous 3 months, actually, because this has been going on for quite a while. That was a tape that we gave to Chairman Kim and his people, his representatives, and it captures a lot, captures what could be done. And that's a great place, has the potential to be an incredible place between South Korea, if you think about it, and China. That's got tremendous potential, and I think he understands that, and he wants to do what's right.
Stop moving around, please.
It's my honor today to address the people of the world following this very historic summit with Chairman Kim Jong-un of North Korea. We spent very intensive hours together, and I think most of you have gotten the signed document, or you will very shortly. It's very comprehensive. It's going to happen. I stand before you as an emissary of the American people to deliver a message of hope and vision and a message of peace. Let me begin by thanking our incredible hosts in Singapore, especially Prime Minister Lee, friend of mine. This is a country of profound grace and beauty, and we send our warmest wishes to every citizen of Singapore who really made this visit so important and so pleasant, despite all of the work and all of the long hours. I also want to thank President Moon of South Korea. He's working hard. In fact, I'll be speaking to him right after we're finished. Prime Minister Abe of Japan, friend of mine, just left our country. And he wants what's right for Japan and for the world. He's a good man. And a very special person, President Xi of China, who has really closed up that border. Maybe a little bit less so over the last couple of months, but that's okay. But he really has, and he's a terrific person and a friend of mine and a really great leader of his people. I want to thank them for their efforts to help us get to this very historic day. Most importantly, I want to thank Chairman Kim for taking the first bold step toward a bright new future for his people. Our unprecedented meeting, the first between an American president and a leader of North Korea, proves that real change is indeed possible. My meeting with Chairman Kim was honest, direct, and productive. We got to know each other well in a very confined period of time, under very strong circumstance. We're prepared to start a new history, and we're ready to write a new chapter between our nations. Nearly 70 years ago, think of that, 70 years ago, an extremely bloody conflict ravaged the Korean Peninsula. Countless people died in the conflict, including tens of thousands of brave Americans. Yet while the armistice was agreed to, the war never ended, to this day, never ended. But now we can all have hope that it will soon end, and it will. It will soon end. The past does not have to define the future. Yesterday's conflict does not have to be tomorrow's war. And as history has proven over and over again, adversaries can indeed become friends. We can honor the sacrifice of our forefathers by replacing the horrors of battle with the blessings of peace. And that's what we're doing, and that's what we have done. There is no limit to what North Korea can achieve when it gives up its nuclear weapons and embraces commerce and engagement with the rest of the world that really wants to engage. Chairman Kim has before him an opportunity like no other, yes, to be remembered as the leader who ushered in a glorious new era of security and prosperity for his people. Chairman Kim and I just signed a joint statement in which he reaffirmed his unwavering commitment to complete denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula. We also agreed to vigorous negotiations to implement the agreement as soon as possible. And he wants to do that. This isn't the past. This isn't another administration that never got it started and therefore never got it done. Chairman Kim has told me that North Korea is already destroying a major missile engine testing site. That's not in your signed document. We agreed to that after the agreement was signed. That's a big thing. For the missiles that they were testing, the site is going to be destroyed very soon. Today is the beginning of an arduous process. Our eyes are wide open. But peace is always worth the effort, especially in this case. This should have been done years ago. They should have been resolved a long time ago. But we're resolving it now. Chairman Kim has the chance to seize an incredible future for his people. Anyone can make war, but only the most courageous can make peace. The current state of affairs cannot endure forever. The people of Korea, North and South, are profoundly talented, industrious, and gifted. These are truly gifted people. They share the same heritage, language, customs, culture, and destiny. But to realize their amazing destiny, to reunite their national family, the menace of nuclear weapons will now be removed. In the meantime, the sanctions will remain in effect. We dream of a future where all Koreans can live together in harmony, where families are reunited and hopes are reborn, and where the light of peace chases away the darkness of war. This bright future is within, and this is what's happening. It is right there. It's within our reach. It's going to be there. It's going to happen. People thought this could never take place. It is now taking place. It's a very great day. It's a very great moment in the history of the world. And Chairman Kim is on his way back to North Korea, and I know for a fact, as soon as he arrives, he's going to start a process that's going to make a lot of people very happy and very safe. So it's an honor to be with everybody today. The media, it's a big gathering of media, I will say. Makes me feel very uncomfortable. But it is what it is. People understand that this is something very important to all of us, including yourselves and your family. So thank you very much for being here. We'll take some questions. Wow. That's a lot of questions. Go ahead. Sure, go ahead. NBC.
Thank you, President. Two questions for you, if you don't mind. First, the man you met today, Kim Jong-un, as you know, has killed family members, has starved his own people, is responsible for the death of Otto Warmbier. Why are you so comfortable calling him very talented?
Well, he is very talented. Anybody that takes over a situation like he did at 26 years of age and is able to run it and run it tough. I don't say he was nice or I don't say anything about it. He ran it. Very few people at that age, you can take one out of 10,000 probably couldn't do it. Otto Warmbier is a very special person, and he will be for a long time in my life. His parents are good friends of mine. I think without Otto, this would not have happened. Something happened from that day. It was a terrible thing. It was brutal. But a lot of people started to focus on what was going on, including North Korea. I really think that Otto is someone who did not die in vain. I told this to his parents. Special young man, and I have to say, special parents, special people. Otto did not die in vain. He had a lot to do with us being here today. Okay, thank you very much.
That second question for you, sir, was on the security. The second question is on the security assurances you talked about in your statement. Can you be specific about what assurances you are willing to give to Kim Jong-un? Does that include reducing military capabilities? And just to follow up on your answer.
No, we're not reducing anything. We're not reducing. At some point, I have to be honest, and I used to say this during my campaign, as you know probably better than most, I want to get our soldiers out. I want to bring our soldiers back home. We have right now 32,000 soldiers in South Korea, and I'd like to be able to bring them back home, but that's not part of the equation right now. At some point, I hope it will be, but not right now. We will be stopping the war games, which will save us a tremendous amount of money, unless and until we see that the future negotiation is not going along like it should. But we'll be saving a tremendous amount of money. Plus, I think it's very provocative. Yes, John? Yes, John, go ahead. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. I thought you were John Roberts. I looked at you. You look just much better, right?
We're frequently confused, Mr. President.
Yes.
Mr. President, the joint statement does not talk about verifiable or irreversible denuclearization.
Yeah.
Is that a concession on the part of the United States?
No, not at all, because if you look at it, I mean, it said we are going to, let's see here, it will be gone. I don't think it can be any more plain than what we're asking. Issues related to the establishment of the new U.S.-DPKR relations, the building. We talk about the guarantees, and we talk about unwavering commitment to the complete denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula. This is the document that we just signed.
Did you discuss with Chairman Kim methods to verify, either with the United States or international organizations, that very process?
Yes, we did. Yes, we did. And we'll be verifying. Yeah, we'll be verifying. It'll be verified.
How will that be achieved, Mr. President?
Well, it's going to be achieved by having a lot of people there. And as we develop a certain trust, and we think we have done that. Secretary Pompeo has been really doing a fantastic job, his staff, everybody. As we do that, we're going to have a lot of people there, and we're going to be working with them on a lot of other things. But this is complete denuclearization of North Korea, and it will be verified.
Will those people be Americans or international?
Combinations of both.
Agencies.
Combinations of both. And we have talked about it, yes. Yeah, go ahead. Be nice. Be respectful.
Be very respectful, sir. What did Kim Jong-un say to you to give you the confidence that for once in the history of North Korea they are not cheating the system and gaming the world and gaming the people who will have to go in and make sure that they're actually giving up their nuclear arsenal?
Yeah, I mean, very fair question. He actually mentioned the fact that they proceeded down a path in the past, and ultimately, as you know, nothing got done. In one case, they took billions of dollars during the Clinton regime, and nothing happened. That was a terrible thing. And he actually brought it up to me. And he said, we have never gone this far. I don't think they've ever had the confidence, frankly, in a president that they have right now for getting things done and having the ability to get things done. And he was very firm in the fact that he wants to do this. I think he might want to do this as much or even more than me, because they see a very bright future for North Korea. So you never know, right? We never know. But I'll tell you what, we signed a very comprehensive document today, and I think most of you have been given that document. But we signed a very, very comprehensive document, and I believe he's going to live up to that document. In fact, when he lands, which is going to be shortly, I think that he will start that process right away. I do. I can only say that I know him for really well. It's been very rhetorical, as you know. I think without the rhetoric, it wouldn't have happened. I think without other things going along, I think the establishment of a new team was very important. They have a great team. But I do. I think he wants to get it done. I really feel that very strongly. This, John, I think you know you two guys look alike when the light is right on the
The hair is very similar. Let me see who has better hair. He's got pretty good hair, John.
It's the angelic glow of the back lettering, Mr. President, that makes it look so similar. Of course, the denuclearization, the nuclear weapons and biological weapons and whatnot, is one problem in North Korea. Another huge problem is the horrible record that they have on human rights. Was that discussed at all? Is that something that you will tackle?
Yes, it was discussed. It will be discussed more in the future, human rights. What was also discussed in great detail, John, was the fact that, you know, we have, and I must have had just countless calls and letters and tweets, anything you can do. They want the remains of their sons back. They want the remains of their fathers and mothers and all of the people that got caught into that really brutal war, which took place to a large extent in North Korea. And I asked for it today, and we got it. That was a very last minute. The remains will be coming back. They're going to start that process immediately. But so many people, even during the campaign, they'd say, is there any way you can work with North Korea to get the remains of my son back or my father back? So many people asked me this question, and you know, I said, look, we don't get along too well with that particular group of people, but now we do. And he agreed to that so quickly and so nice. It was really a very nice thing, and he understands it. He understands it. So for the thousands and thousands, I guess way over 6,000 that we know of in terms of the remains, they'll be brought back.
The POW MIA issue clearly is a very important one for thousands.
Especially to a lot of people that are...
What do you, President Trump, expect Kim Jong-un to do about the human rights record regarding the North Korean people?
Right. It was discussed. It was discussed relatively briefly compared to denuclearization. Well, obviously, that's where we started and where we ended. But they will be doing things, and I think he wants to do things. I think he wants to. You'd be very surprised. Very smart, very good negotiator, wants to do the right thing. You know, he brought up the fact that in the past they took dialogue far. They never were like we are. There's never been anything like what's taken place now. But they went down the line. Billions of dollars were given, and you know, the following day, the nuclear program continued. But this is a much different time, and this is a much different president, in all fairness. This is very important to me. This was one of the, perhaps one of the reasons that I won. I campaigned on this issue, as you know very well, John. Okay, whoever those people are, I cannot see you with all the lights, but you don't look like either of the two. Yeah, go ahead. Sure, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. President. And first of all, congratulations.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Touch on the issue of peace treaty, and also will you travel to Pyongyang anytime soon?
Well, at a certain time, I will. I said that will be a day that I look very much forward to at the appropriate time. And I also will be inviting Chairman Kim at the appropriate time to the White House. I think it's really going to be something that will be very important. And he has accepted. I said at the appropriate time. We want to go a little bit further down the road. But what we signed today was a lot of things included. And then you have things that weren't included that we got after the deal was signed. I've done that before in my life. And we didn't put it in the agreement because we didn't have time. And I think most of you have been handed out the agreement, or soon will. But you have not? Okay. Well, if you could have those agreements passed out. We just finished them just a little while ago. But if you could have the agreements passed out, well, you'll see what we're talking about. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
I will second congratulations, President.
Thank you.
What part did Japan play? And did the abduction issue come up? And
yes.
Also, the fate of the Christians? And the
yes.
Follow-up question is, when we've been doing an interview with Japanese TV, 50,000 American troops are in Japan.
That's true. 50,000 great troops, that's true. Yeah, it did. Abduction, absolutely. This is Prime Minister Abe's, one of his, certainly, other than the whole denuking subject, certainly his, I would say, his main point. And I brought it up, absolutely, and they're going to be working on that. It will be. We didn't put it down in the document, but it will be worked on. Christians, yes. We are brought it up very strongly. You know, Franklin Graham spent and spends a tremendous amount of time in North Korea. He's got it very close to his heart. It did come up, and things will be happening. Okay? Thank you. Great question. Yes, John, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, John.
Returning to the question of human rights, you spoke very powerfully on the issue during your State of the Union address.
Right.
You showed that you had the defector in the First Lady's box with the crutches who escaped. And you, at that point, said that North Korea has more brutally oppressed its people than any other regime on Earth. Do you still believe that is the case, having sat down with Kim Jong-un? It doesn't
right.
change that.
John, I believe it's a rough situation over there. There's no question about it. And we did discuss it today pretty strongly. I mean, knowing what the main purpose of what we were doing is, denuking, but discussed it at pretty good length. We'll be doing something on it. It's rough. It's rough in a lot of places, by the way. Not just there, but it's rough. And we will continue that, and I think ultimately we'll agree to something. But it was discussed at length outside of the nuclear situation, one of the primary topics.
But okay? Do you think that needs to change to bring on this glorious new era you talked about? Are they going to have to?
I think it will change, yeah. I think it probably has to, but I think it will. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much. Steve, that's you, Steve, right there.
Yes, sir. Thank you. What timetable do you envision for their denuclearization? And in the meantime, are you thinking about easing any sanctions?
Well, you know, scientifically, I've been watching and reading a lot about this, and it does take a long time to, you know, pull off complete denuclearization. It takes a long time. Scientifically, you have to wait certain periods of time, and a lot of things happen. But despite that, once you start the process, it means it's pretty much over. You can't use them. That's the good news. And that's going to start very, very soon. I believe that's going to start very soon. We will do it as fast as it can mechanically and physically be done, Steve.
And the sanctions?
The sanctions will come off when we are sure that the nukes are no longer a factor. Sanctions played a big role. But they'll come off at that point. I hope it's going to be soon, but they'll come off. They, as you know, and as I've said, the sanctions right now remain. But at a certain point, I actually look forward to taking them off. And they'll come off when we know we're down the road where it's not going to happen. Nothing's going to happen. Okay?
Thank you.
Yes, go ahead, please.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you.
Congratulations on this historic summit.
Thank you very much. Congratulations to everybody, by the way. Congratulations to everybody. Go ahead.
You signed a document with Kim Jong-un. It's essentially a piece of paper. Yesterday we had a briefing from the Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo. He said the following: many presidents previously have signed off on pieces of paper, only to find that the North Koreans either didn't promise what we thought they had or actually reneged on those promises. What makes this time different, Mr. President?
Well, you have a different administration. You have a different president. You have a different Secretary of State. You have people that are, you know, it's very important to them, and we get it done. The other groups, maybe it wasn't a priority. I don't think they could have done it if it was a priority, frankly. I don't think they honestly could have done it even if it was a priority. And it would have been easier back then. Would have been, for me, it would have been much easier if this were 10 years ago or 5 years ago. And I'm not just blaming President Obama. I mean, this goes back for 25 years. This should have happened. I was given a very tough hand. I was given this. I was given the Iran deal and plenty of other problems. But we are, we're doing really well. And the Iran deal, I have to be honest, I did it because nuclear is always number one to me. Nuclear is number one. But on the Iran deal, I think Iran is a different country now than it was 3 or 4 months ago. I don't think they're looking so much to the Mediterranean. I don't think they're looking so much at Syria like they were with total confidence. I don't think they're so confident right now. But I hope, with that being said, I hope that at the appropriate time, after these sanctions kick in, and they are brutal, what we've put on Iran, I hope that they're going to come back and negotiate a real deal, because I'd love to be able to do that. But right now it's too soon for that. Yes, please.
President, you often talk about establishing diplomatic relations, exchanging ambassadors. How long before that happens?
Good question. Hopefully soon, but we'll have to get things moving first. Very little bit early for that. We have to get things moving. Yes, go ahead. Hi.
Clarifying when you said you're stopping war games, so
yeah.
You are stopping the military exercises with South Korea?
Yeah, we've done exercises for a long period of time working with South Korea, and we call them war games, and I call them war games, and they're tremendously expensive. The amount of money that we spend on that is incredible, and South Korea contributes, but not 100%, which is certainly a subject that we have to talk to them about also. And that has to do with the military expense and also the trade. So we're doing that. We actually have a new deal with South Korea in terms of the trade deal. But we have to talk to them. We have to talk to many countries about treating us fairly. But the war games are very expensive. We pay for a big majority of them. We fly in bombers from Guam. I said it when I first started. I said, where do the bombers come from? Guam. Nearby. I said, oh, great. Nearby. Where's nearby? 6.5 hours. 6.5 hours, that's a long time for these big, massive planes to be flying to South Korea to practice and then drop bombs all over the place and then go back to Guam. I know a lot about airplanes. It's very expensive. And I didn't like it. And what I did say is, and I think it's very provocative. I have to tell you, Jennifer, it's a very provocative situation. When I see that, and you have a country right next door. So under the circumstances that we're negotiating a very comprehensive, complete deal, I think it's inappropriate to be having war games. So number one, we save money a lot. And number two, it really is something that I think they very much appreciated.
Does North Korea give you something in return, though?
Well, we've gotten, you know, I've heard that. I mean, some of the people that, I don't know, maybe they really mean it. I don't always want to go against the press because I just don't, especially not today. This is too important. But I noticed that some of the people were saying that the president has agreed to meet. He has given up so much. I gave up nothing. I'm here. I haven't slept in 25 hours, but I thought it was appropriate to do because we've been negotiating for literally round the clock with them and with us and with John and with Mike and a whole team of very talented people. But we haven't given up anything other than you're right. I agreed to meet. And I think the meeting was every bit as good for the United States as it was for North Korea. But I just wrote down some of the things we got. And they, you know, they got a meeting. But only a person that dislikes Donald Trump would say that I've agreed to make a big commitment. Sure, I've agreed to take a period of time and come here and meet, and that's good. But I think it's great for us and as a country, and I think it's good for them. But what did they do to justify this meeting? Secured commitment for complete denuclearization. That's the big thing. They secured the release of three American hostages. They already gave them to us 2 months ago. These people are now living happily back in their homes with their families. And it was pretty rough for them, to put it mildly. Secured the commitment to recover the remains, including these are of fallen heroes. And they're giving a commitment. They're starting it immediately to recover the remains. And I just went through how many people asked me about it. I was amazed, actually. So many people would ask me, is it possible? Is it possible? At that time, we had no relationship to Chairman Kim or to anybody else in North Korea. You know, it was a very closed society. So we're getting the remains back. Secured the halt of all missile and nuclear tests. For how long has it been? 7 months? You haven't had a missile go up. For 7 months, you haven't had a nuclear test. You haven't had a nuclear explosion. I remember a nuclear event took place, 8.8 on the Richter scale. And they announced, I heard it on the radio, they announced that a massive, you know, an earthquake took place somewhere in Asia. And then they said it was in North Korea, and then they found out it was a nuclear test. I said, I never heard of a Richter scale in the high eights.
We'll have more on this in our next newscast. And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.